Well, we're going to have church. Won't be this. It just won't be that now. But next week, yeah, we're going to go for it unless something really weird happens out there. Enough's enough. It's time for us to get back together. We've got plenty of room to sit apart. We need to look at each other, even if I'm just looking at a mask with two eyes over the top of it. At least I can see you. And, you know, I believe the enemy's had his heyday. Now it's time for us to put him out. I really do. It's the way I feel about it. I'm not going to live in fear all my life, and I encourage you not to. By now, you've either been exposed or you haven't. So you're okay. So you've got an immune system that's building up, so don't worry about it. And I really mean that. So wear your gloves and your mask, but you know, we're going to go for church and open up the church in a week and sit apart. We'll do the social distancing thing. But it's time to get with it. But for this time, it's Mother's Day. And I want to share with you that a very heartfelt Mother's Day to all of you who have struggled to take care of a family and raise children, do all that you've done. God bless you for it. I say this, and many of you that's known me know that what I'm saying from the heart. I was never, as a child, just happened that way. I was never allowed to. I just could not, because of my mother's condition, ever have a relationship with her. I didn't really know what a Mother's Day was, I had very few birthdays celebrated or anything. We didn't know what that was. And she was either very, very ill at home or in the hospital, and that just went on for most all of my growing up years. And so I didn't get to experience that. So I've had to learn, and I've had to learn and to appreciate what moms really are and what they do, and the many people who have helped me along the way and been a mom to me in great ways. And I thank you for it. I thank you for all you do, and I really pray God's blessings upon you. And I pray that you have one fantastic Mother's Day. I truly do. You deserve it. I want to share with you out of John chapter 17, a passage that I don't go to very often, because frankly, it's just pretty immense. But I want to share with you, for a start, Jesus, the whole 17th chapter of John is a prayer that Jesus prayed. We have a model prayer in Matthew, over, you know, in the Gospels there and the other Gospels. And when the disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray," and he did, and it was a model prayer. It was like, well, okay, this is kind of like your bullet points, and then from that, let it flow out. You know, you don't just pray that prayer and quote it. You can, but pray the prayer and then let stuff begin to flow as you begin to pray. We know, what is my daily bread? And our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, and your kingdom come. What does that mean to you? And as the Holy Spirit leads in your heart, you just pray, you know, and give us our daily bread and forgive us our sins. And there's a time to confess. And he's just saying, here's an outline to follow, then let it roll. But if you want to hear the Lord's Prayer, go to John chapter 17. That's the Lord's Prayer. And why is that significant? It's like you may be thinking, well, is that important to us? To know the Lord's Prayer, we know the model prayer, and yes, because what he prayed in there, this prayer is continuing. This prayer's never ceased. He prayed, when Jesus prayed, he prayed in three different areas, all in one prayer. He prayed for his own heart, his own heart, and his walk with God. He prayed for his immediate disciples' walk with God, and then he prayed for those believers that would become disciples in the future. That's you and me. And so that's all in that one prayer. And that prayer never ends. This is the prayer from the heart of Jesus that keeps on giving. And so what he prayed in there in John 17 still goes. It's an ongoing prayer. This is a prayer that keeps on giving and will keep going until Jesus comes again. And so as we look at some of the things, and I'll ask you to read this prayer, because I can't cover all of it. It's a long chapter, and because it's a long prayer. But the things Jesus prays for, if you'll look at them and say, this is what his will for me is, yeah. This is what it's about. I'll tell you, he'll bless you. You start applying yourself and say, Lord, this prayer is continuing. This is what you want for me? Or maybe you've been struggling, saying, what's God's will for me? Well, there's a big bunch of it right here in this chapter. And so let me read bits and pieces of it. I've got to pick and choose, and then we'll comment on it. But this is powerful stuff, and this is a way to have some true happiness and to have the real blessings of the Lord. And so let me just read a little bit. Jesus, he said a bunch of things, and he looked up to heaven, and he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so he can give glory back to you. So he's praying for his own heart, from his heart here, about himself. And if any of you ever wondered, is it okay to pray about me? Well, you better. You better. If your heart, how can you love and take care of anybody else if you're not right with God and letting God take care of you? And so Jesus did that. So he said, you know, glorify your Son so he can give glory back to you. You've given him authority over everyone. He gives eternal life. He's talking about himself to each one that you have given him. He's kind of praying in the third person, but he's praying about himself. And this is the way to have eternal life. And he even covers this in his prayer. Interesting. Why? Why in this prayer did he pray, this is the way to eternal life? He knew we'd read it. He knew this was being recorded for you and me. So here he is praying for himself, and he's saying, I want this stated here, that the way to eternal life is to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. So in his prayer, knowing this would be recorded for us to read in this Bible, he said, I just want to be sure you understand that praying to me without knowing me is not going to get you very far. So you got to ask me into your heart, and you need to know me. A lot of people say, yeah, I just don't think my prayers are ever answered. Sometimes it takes a while for prayer to be answered, and there's other times that I want to ask you, is your heart where it's supposed to be? I mean, that's why Jesus, right in the middle of this, said, this is the way to eternal life. You've got to know me, to talk to me, you know, and if you want your prayers answered, you know, walk with me. You know, get in tune with me, and let's get into each other's hearts. You accept me into yours, and I'll live in your heart, and you abide in me, and me in you, and some good stuff will happen. And so he said, I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Now, Father, bring me into the glory we shared before the world began. He said, I left glory to come here on this earth. That's quite a step down for Christ. And he said, now I want to go back to that glory. You know what did I hear in this prayer? I'll tell you what I hear. He was fully God, but he was fully human. And Jesus has got a little bit of homesickness in his heart. He wants to go back home. This is not home. Why we our human nature, why we just so attached to this earth and get so caught up in this earth and what's around me and all about me and all the stuff. This is not your home. When you ask Jesus into your heart, Peter says we become aliens. If any of you believe in aliens, well, go ahead, because we are. We're aliens. This is not our home. My home's in heaven. My family is tied in the whole Jewish. I'm grafted into the Jewish vine. I'm a wild olive branch, but now I'm grafted into the real tree. And Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses, all these people become my kinfolks. I'm spiritually tied to them. And all the things that are promised to the Jewish people, I have because I'm a Christian. So do you. And so, you know, I look at all of this and I said, there's a homesick Christ. And Father, you know, he said, you know, I'm ready. Bring me into the glory we shared before the world began. He's ready. He knows his time's coming, but he's ready. I would miss it too, wouldn't you? There it was great. Here it wasn't so good for him. It's good for us because of what he did, but it wasn't so good for Jesus. And so he prays for himself, and then he prays for his disciples. And he said, I've revealed you to the ones you gave me from the world, and they were always yours, and you gave them to me, and they've kept your word. I wish I could say that all the time, don't you? I've kept his word. I sure know when I have it, because I get convicted real quick. Seems like I'm constantly convicted. Most of us feel that way, don't we? And he said, now they know that everything I have is a gift from you, for I passed it on to them. The message you gave me, and they accepted it, and they know that I came from you, and they believe you sent me. I'm skipping through some things because I just can't read all this, but read it. I'm trying to give you the good part. And he, you know, here's what he said. My prayer is not for the world. He said, I'm not praying for people who don't know me, but for those you've given me because they belong to you. And all who are mine belong to you. And you've given them to me, so they bring me glory. And now I'm departing from the world, and they are staying in this world. But I'm coming to you, Father, and you have given me your name. Now protect them. And look at this. Protect them by the power of your name. Grab that. He said, protect them by the power of your name, so that they will be united just as we are. And so during my time here, I protected them by the power of the name you gave me. And I guarded them so that not one was lost except the one that was headed for destruction, which was Judas, as the scriptures had already foretold. He said, now I'm coming to you. And I told him many things, and he goes through all this, and he said, you know, the world hates them because they do not belong to the world. By the way, I'll have some notes here in a moment, but I'm trying to grab a few things as I read through this. Hear what he said? The world hates them now because they don't belong to the world. You know what he's saying? The world doesn't like you because you won't do what the world tells you to do. We're not here to do what the world tells us. We're not here to conform to it. We're here to be totally transformed by the renewing of our minds to be like Christ. The Holy Spirit's work is to do that and teach us to be like Christ and to transform us. And so he said, make them holy. They don't belong here any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. And he said, just as you sent me into the world, I'm sending them into the world, and I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them so they can be made holy by your truth. And then he says, here's the third element of this prayer. He said, I'm praying not only for these disciples, but for all who will ever believe in me through their message. That's us. And we're his disciples now. We have to carry this thing on. So everything he prayed for his disciples now is for us, you and me. And we're here to carry on and to do what he called them to do, put it, and that's what we're here to do. And he said, and look what he said, I pray they will all be one just as you and I are one. What a powerful prayer. What a huge statement that we're one, just as Jesus and the Father are one, Father and me and I and you, and may they be in us so the world believe you sent me. And he says, I've given him the glory you gave me. That's you and me. He gave us his glory? Yep. So that we may be one. He said that we may be one as Jesus and the Father are one. I am in them, you're in me, and may they experience such. Look at this. May they experience, that's you and me, such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and you love them as much as you love me. And he said, Father, I want these whom you've given me to be with me where I am. How about that? He said, I really like you. I want you to hear these words from Jesus. Jesus is saying to you, I like you. I love you, but I like you. And I want you to be where I am. I want you up here in heaven with me. He's asking you to come and be with him. Ask him in your heart. I mean, that's what it's all about. He said, I want you with me. And so they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me even before the world began. Now, no righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do. And these do because I revealed you to them and I'll continue to do it. And then your love for me will be in them and I in them. And I skipped through some, but read it for yourself. And please do that because you'll get a lot more out of it. But let me just hit a few things. And first of all, this prayer from Jesus' heart, he prayed for the completion of his ministry. I'm just summarizing for you here in this message. He prayed that his ministry be completed and everything God wanted him to do be done. And he prayed that God's glory would be his glory. Once again, he gave up his glory to be here in this body. You and I, we're given that glory. I've had people ask, he says that he gave us his glory. What glory? Don't you realize you're going to be glorified? You're going to trade this old earth suit for a heaven suit, a God suit, whatever that new body is, and you're going to be glorified. You have eternal life. That's given you. You have it in Jesus Christ to be in heaven. You that's the glory part. I get to trade off this aging body. Man, it is too. And if this mustache gets any wider, I'm going to color it. But in the meantime, it reminds me daily when I look at all this, Tony, don't worry. You're going to get to trade this in. You're going to have the finest, best trade-in deal you ever had. Because the next trade-in you make, when you make the trade-in on this body, what you're going to be able to drive around in is going to last for eternity. And it'll never be faded or dented or have any mechanical problems ever. And I'm looking forward to that. I really am. You think about that. And it'll take away some fear and anxiety about what might happen to you with some stuff out here. Don't worry about it. You know, we got more coming. So we have his glory. And he prayed that glory through his life would be brought to God. I do too. I pray that through your life and mine, that we'll bring glory to God, how we live and we talk, how we treat people, how we love people, and how we're honest about our failures. Let me share something real quick with you. If you want to give glory to God, and I know every Christian does, I know you do, and you say, how can I do that? You say, well, I need to witness and minister. I need to love him with all my heart and mind and soul, mind and strength, loving neighbors, myself. Yes, 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 that's right. But if you really want to give glory to God, be honest with him and be honest with people. Don't ever try to act like you don't have sins. Don't act like you don't. That's why myself, for me, I can't fake it. I'm not going to get up there and bring messages and act like that I'm perfect with everything, because I'm not, and I don't want anybody live to believe that me or any other person on this earth is perfect. I'm not going to hide behind a pulpit, a piece of wood or something, plexiglass up there and try to kid you. I struggle like everybody else struggles. That's why messages come from my heart as well as the word. And this isn't about me. I'm simply saying that's what God wants you to be like. And when you fall short, admit it and tell other people. Whoever you fall short with, you lose your temper, you have a little problem with somebody, be honest with them. Hey, man, that you saw that old flesh that time, didn't you? You know, but you know what they're really saying? I'm saying Christ in you, the hope of glory, because you're who would be willing to be that humble, that honest about themselves except a real Christian? Think about it. You think about it. That leads people to Christ. They want that honesty. They want us to be that. And so anyway, you want to bring glory to God, that's a good way to do it. Just be honest with yourself, God, and other people. And he confirmed the way to eternal life. He prayed that in his prayer because he wanted us to read it, and if we didn't know him, to know him. And he said, bring me into the glory that we shared before the world began. He got homesick. As you get older, you get homesick. I get homesick now for where I grew up. I think about it. I miss some of the things that, you know, where I lived. And I said, you know, if I get homesick, why couldn't Jesus? I'm sure he was homesick. And I understand that. And then he prayed for his disciples. That's us. But he was praying for the immediate ones there. He said, I want them to have the truth. And I want them to keep my word. And I commend them for it. And he said, I want them, you know, to share the way to eternal life, to know God and to know Jesus Christ. And you know what else he prayed for? Protection. He said, Father, protect them like I protected them. He prayed for protection through the power of God's name. He prayed for their unity. If there's anything I can say to you, it's this. I've had people ask me this, and I don't know. But I've been asked this question. Okay, when Jesus talks about be one as we are one and be all this unity, does he mean we have to agree on everything? No. We don't have to agree on what color of clothes we wear to church, or the type of shirts, or pants, or dresses, or whatever. We don't have to agree on how we baptize. We don't have to agree on how we do the Lord's Supper. But I tell you what we do need to agree on. We need to agree on that we do baptize. And we need to agree on that we do the Lord's Supper. Whether we handed out little cups or crackers, or we dip something in a chalice or whatever it is, we need to agree that we do it and agree on the purpose for it. And we need to agree that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And that's the only way. He is the foundation of the church. and we're not, and that's it. There's no other theology, no other way to salvation, no other Savior but Jesus Christ. We don't have to agree on the color of carpets. I was in a church once. We got into a terrible ruckus about the color of some nothing but carpet. Seen fights over choir robes. See people walk out of church and never speak to their dearest friends, at least for months or years, because they disagreed over the color of a robe or a carpet. You hear these jokes? They're true. I've lived them and seen them. And let me say this to you. That's not important to God. If you have any carpet or don't, I'll tell you what is important to Him. That we have unity when we come together and we're there to worship Jesus Christ. And some may lift their hands and others may fold them across their chest. Others may stand and others may want to sit. Now, I've had people say, ooh, we shouldn't be lifting our hands, or why don't they ever get excited? Let me tell you something. It doesn't make a rip. I'll tell you what makes the difference. It's what's in your heart. If you can worship God sitting down, then worship Him sitting down. But if you worship God standing up, or you want to lift your hand, or you don't want to lift your hand, those are all. What makes the difference is what is in your heart. Worship Him from the heart because you love Him. And I'm not trying to beat a drum. I'm not on a soapbox here. I don't have one anyway. I can't get on my soapbox, so I won't do that. But listen, we get so caught up in all the silly, goofy things, and I wonder sometimes, I just wonder, does God allow things sometimes that hit us because we're just getting too far away from Him and worried about stuff that doesn't matter? Who cares? Who cares? What God cares about, what Jesus is praying here, is that we be one with Him, one in the Spirit, that we believe in Him, and we worship Him in the way we're led to worship. That's what counts. And He said, I want them to be filled with, I want you to be filled with my joy. Oh, friends, do you pray and ask God for the joy of your salvation? I've had to ask God several times, Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Let me feel joy again. I don't have to go around laughing all the time, but I sure need to have joy in my heart that God has saved me, Jesus has saved me. I'm protected for eternity. I have a home in heaven. I don't have to worry about it. And he prayed right here. He said, I know the world will hate you, but I love you. And what he was saying is, God, just protect them from a world that'll hate you because you're not playing its game. And we don't have to play its game. There's a bunch of people right now that wants to play their game out there. They want us to run in fear. They want us to believe everything they shovel at us. I'll tell you what I believe. I believe in Jesus Christ and His word right here that has no error in it whatsoever. That's what I believe. And that's the only truth there is. Everything else, well, there's a lot of opinions. And by the way, I've seen people really, really break up friendships, marriages, over opinions. Well, if you like your potatoes mashed, and well, eat them mashed. And if you like yours baked, who cares? Seriously. It's what we do together, Christ in our heart, the love we have, and what all these other peripheral things, forget it. And so, you know, he's saying, just keep them safe from the evil one. I pray that for you right now. God, keep us all safe from the evil one. Keep us safe from being led astray with fear, worry, anxiety, stress, lies of the enemy. Just keep us safe. And he said, make them holy. This prayer keeps going. This is what Jesus is praying for you right now. And he wants you holy. The word holy means set apart for a special purpose. Sanctified. You're put, when God says, Jesus prays to be holy, it means I want you to keep your disciples, you and me, set apart to Jesus Christ. And living, seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness. This is good stuff. And he said, teach them your word. How does God teach us His word? Through His Holy Spirit who lives in us when we believe. And we turn to this Bible and we open it and the Holy Spirit gives us understanding. Without Him, it's just a book with a bunch of rules and regulations. But with the Holy Spirit, it's a book of life. that leads us to eternal life, leads us on, and helps us make it every day. That's why put some of it in your heart every day and read it and let the Spirit teach you. And then let me wrap this up with this. Third element of this prayer, he prayed for all of us who would believe later and become his disciples to carry on what he told his disciples to do there. And he said, for all, he said, I pray for all who believe. Once again, he comes back to this thing, to be one as Father, we are one. He said, I want them to be one. I don't want them arguing and griping and getting carried away over things that, you know. Let me say this. You know, one of the things that I've watched over these 30 plus years of ministry is I've seen people who want to control something in the church. They just got to be in charge. They've got to have it done their way. People believe their way. And if everybody doesn't do it, they get mad. And then there's a little ruckus or big ruckus. And let me tell you something. That's not the way Jesus Christ planned it. We don't come to church to worry about how the coffee tastes. We come to church to say, thank you, God, for giving us the coffee. You hear what I'm saying? We don't come for the donuts. We don't come to be on a committee or some group or a ministry team. We come in church and we say, thank you, God, that I can come. Thank you that I could be here today. Thank you that I have the health and the life to just be here and lift a cup to my mouth, to sit in a chair, and it may not be the color I want it to be, or the surroundings may not be perfect, but thank you, God, that I can be here. And God help those who can. I thank you, God. See, there's so many things. We've just got to see through the stuff and realize what the real purpose is, and it's all about Him. And he said, I want you to be in unity. You don't have to agree on everything, but you got to agree on what's important. And he said, I want you to be as Jesus and the Father one. He said, that's how I want you to be with Christ and with each other. The stuff doesn't matter. Christ does. And I think, as a verse, it goes this way. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. That's what's important. That's what it's all about. And so he says, one in love, one in faith, one in purpose. Christ in us, we in Christ, by faith, obeying Christ, teaching, loving one another. He says, here's the things that make us work, that makes a church work. It's being one in the faith. We believe in Jesus Christ who died on the cross for our sins, rose again the third day, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. That's what counts. And we believe in the fellowship of the church. You know what fellowship is? It means that I am okay with my relationship with God. God and I are talking, praying. I'm in His Word. And I realize God accepts me with all my flaws and my quirks and little hang-ups and all the junk. And I can walk up to my fellow believers and accept them in spite of all their little quirks and jerks and hang-ups. Because we all have them. We're all rather eccentric. We're all a little obsessive-compulsive at times, some more than others. But God accepts us. We do the weirdest things and God still loves us. And all he asks is then accept each other when you're kind of weird, because we're all kind of weird. I do some things at home sometimes, and I think, well, I'm glad somebody didn't see me do that. God did. I think sometimes he just sits there and smiles and says, that's my boy. He's unusual, but that's my boy. And that's what he does with you. That's my girl out there. That's my boy. And I love you in spite of yourself. And that's why he wants to be with each other. In doctrine, unity in doctrine, and in love, and accepting each other as God accepts us. So let me close by saying this. The prayer from the heart of Jesus is for us in this world to realize that God's here protecting us. He died for us. He rose again. And he lives for us. Jesus intercedes for us. And he wants us to get up in the morning and thank him for doing that. And to walk out there and take a big, deep breath and say, I'm yours, God. I'm all yours. What do you want from me today? And for some of us, maybe we need to say a little extra, and it can go like this. And God, no matter what anybody says or does today, I want you to help me just slide off me like water off a duck. I'm not going to let anybody cause me to take an offense or get mad today. I'm going to love them all. I'm going to accept their little quirks and their jerks. And Lord, I'm going to take a big, deep breath and say, thank you for accepting me. And thank you for still using me, even with all my stuff. Thank you, God, that you love us. You believe in us. We believe in you. And thank you, God, that we can enjoy your presence. And thank you, Jesus, for praying for us a prayer that just keeps on giving. God bless you. Be seeing you soon. Blessings upon you. Blessings upon blessings.